Welcome to Sonata Secrets with Henrik Chilham, unlocking the world of classical music. Keith Jarrett's The Köln Concert is a legendary modern classic. It's an improvised concert that was held on the 24th of January 1975 in Cologne in Germany. And the recording of that concert went on to be the best-selling album of a solo jazz musician in history, with I think nearly 4 million sales worldwide. The full concert is around 1 hour and it's mainly three parts and then like an encore at the end. And in this video I am gonna look at part one, play through the music and do some comments about how I feel that he creates this truly magical music, how it is achieved with some mechanisms and the usual stuff that I do here. But I would assume that you are somewhat familiar with this music already, because there is a score, but I won't show it because of copyright reasons. It's not in the public domain. So if you haven't heard it, go listen to it. It's on Spotify with the original. I have also done a music video where I give my interpretation of it, and it's a great video production by Adrian Erickson that we did. So this transcription, it's done by two Japanese guys that's done the tedious task of transcribing the whole concert into notes. They are Yukiko Kishinami and Kunihiko Yamashita. And I'm indebted to them because I wouldn't have been able to learn it without the score as a classical musician. So Keith Jarrett kind of gives his blessing to this transcription, but he also says that you need to listen to the recording. So he writes in a preface here about the transcription. So we are looking at, let us say, a picture of an improvisation, sort of like a print of a painting. You cannot see the depth in it, only the surface. As a result of this, I am recommending that every pianist who intends to play the Köln concert use the recording as the final word reference. Good luck. And it's interesting when you look at the score, it reads kind of like a Bach score, because it's no markings and no dynamics. So in a way you can feel there's some room, but then of course you need to listen to, like if you're gonna play it like I do, I listen to Keith Jarrett and I understand what the direction is for the music and his ideas, but then maybe I can find some of my own. That it can still be contained within the score, as we have with the Bach music. Now if we start to look at the big picture, I would say there's four major sections with like different contents and ideas in them. First is the introduction, that's like 3 minutes in the recording, where it kind of starts out and tries out some different things, and there's one motif that's a rhythmic motif, like a rhythm that goes through the whole introduction. Then the next section I call the A section, that's like the biggest chunk of the whole piece. There's one idea in there that's going between the two chords, A minor and G major, and you almost get into this hypnotic state, just savoring those chords. Then in the end of that, there's like a breaking point where the next section starts, I call the B section, which is much more freer and kind of exploratory and experimental. So it moves harmonically, even though it's like a slower section of the piece compared to some of the energy that's in the end of the A section. But like more things are happening under the surface on the B section. And then the final C section is a bit simpler in a way. It's basically only two chords again. It's A major, A in the bass, and A and also D with A in the bass, and one ostinato. And just like 3 or 4 minutes with the same thing, small variations on that ostinato, ending the whole piece in a big climax and ecstasy. So the start is these notes. This great, like, emblematic start. So these notes are actually the signal bell for the opera house. I suppose, I haven't heard them myself, but I suppose they are like these notes, but more like maybe something like that. And then Keith Jarrett just grabs that theme from the air, what they just heard before the concert started, when the audience came into the concert hall. He just takes it. And if you listen carefully in the recording, you can actually hear the audiences laughing just after these first motifs. let it sound out. And getting the pulse with this D. Now, take the same motif but slightly expanded. And this is the first A minor chord with a ninth. Now, he's basically trying out some different chords here. And this motif, it's not these notes anymore. The motif is going to be a rhythm that comes soon. Now, F major 7th or major 7th and 9th. Going to a G major. This is the first G major in the piece, an important chord. Now back to A minor. So already now we're kind of establishing the harmonic pulse that's going to be present for basically the start of the introduction and then the whole A section. And it's like 2 bars per chord. So like slowly going between the chords. Now we're starting to get this rhythm that's going to be present for the introduction. We kind of get it, the core rhythm. Bum, ba, dum, ba, dum, bum. So we have it kind of in the F major 7th, 9th chord. Bum, ba, dum, ba, dum, bum. I just play it again. So these rhythms are kind of somewhere close to the core rhythm. This is E minor now, slightly new chord. And now, the best thing. So going down to D major, and here we have these upbeats that are like a signifier for Keith Jarrett in particular and jazz in general, I suppose. And it's like in every style of music, you have these conventions, and especially on the surface level, like this ornament style. In this style, we have these kind of ornaments. And they're gonna be present throughout the whole piece, and it's just something to get used to in the style. Like, this is, especially for me as a classical pianist coming from a whole different perspective, I can just think of it like instead of in Bach you would have those kind of ornaments. Now here we have these kind of ornaments. Also, I will return to the ornament in the A section. It's really spectacular what he does there. But here we have this. It's kind of so much fun, joy in this music. A longer chord here, and you're counting this 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. A lift on the 4th. Now we're starting to get this rhythm like constantly. Major now. E minor. And these kind of raw pop chords. Moving somewhere harmonically, but moving back. I don't know, somewhere new. Now just continuing down. It's a crescendo here and finally reaching the high point again. Which is a G major after this kind of a dissonant modal fifth and fourth. minor. Here we have these two chords. There's a great detail here on the recording. He lifts up the pedal in a very loud fashion, like you never do when you play beautiful music, but this is more raw music, so you get this. I think it really adds something here when you, because it's like it's just fun. But here suddenly it gets like really beautiful, almost like a classical piece here. So you get these suspensions. It's actually a sus chords. C sus to F. Now again A sus, resolving to just a beautiful like a melody going through a lot of different harmony, like modulating harmonies here. Favorite moment here, the D major. Okay, so here we reach like the final part of the introduction. Now we get a pedal on B, and we get some long notes in the right hand, we're gonna get soon, and then a lot of like busy things in the middle voices here. And it's 12 bars of this, and it's a hard place to memorize because it's very similar but slightly different every bar. So yeah, it takes a lot of work to do that. Okay, so here we have the pedal part. Get kind of Phrygian vibes here with the E and the F. B is kind of part of E, maybe. You can kind of feel it coming to an end here. Finally reach, this is what I would call the beginning of the next major section, the A section. So it starts with this A minor, and this is the rhythm like for the final time, and an echo. And now, because now we get this different texture, we get the chords in the left hand, and so because the story of the concert, the piano wasn't working properly, and especially like the pedals weren't working. I'm not sure how much they weren't working, but apparently this is the reason why he chose to play this way and hold the chords with the left hand a lot. So the left hand gets really passive. It mostly goes between these chords, A minor, D major. Of course, if we have a pedal that's working, we can of course add pedal on a piano that's a working instrument, even with holding this. But then the right hand plays all the fun stuff on the surface. So this feels like a cadenza for a really long time. You get like 4 pages of just left hand holding notes, changing between them slowly, and the right hand is very free. So we're starting out with a few more chords than just the A minor and the G's. It's mostly, most of the time, an E minor after the A minor, and then sometimes they're an he throws in an F major in the mix, a little bit surprising, but it gets more and more condensed. So I'm going to play a little bit of this, maybe not everything, we'll see. Oh, and one final thing, the melody is always on these three notes, the A, like part of the A minor notes close to A minor, but you can get them on the different chord, they create different functions. So in the beginning we have, this is the ninth of A, resolving. And now going to G major. So here we, with the C is like the fourth in G, resolving to the third. And okay, so this thing about the ornaments, in this section, the ornaments sound just like French Baroque ornaments. So like composers like Rameau or Couperin, if you listen to piano music by them, this is like 18th century or even 17th century, I'm not sure. There you have these kind of ornaments, very prominently on the melody often. Okay, so again. So the Phrygian vibes again. Now it kind of needs to think for two bars here. This ornament, I mean. Some more jazz element there. Going between these melody notes. E minor. You start to feel already these amazing feelings where you just go between the chords, because they are, for two bars, you're with one chord, the A minor, and then when the D comes, it's a resolution to a major chord, never sounds as beautiful as it does in this piece. It's almost like that. So, yeah. Getting a little bit more energy in the right hand cadenza style, but a long time to think, pause here. This is the F major, like a surprising. He makes this sound at the concert as well, and I can really feel how you want to do it after this amazing bar. So much like he's trying to break away from these notes, just these three notes, like trying different turns up and down, and the resolution. Something new there. Now the A minor, and this is the pain and the melody notes here, like really loud. You can almost hear like the strings vibrating in a way they're not supposed to do on the recording here. It attacks them, it's so raw and heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
trying something new, a new idea of ornament here. Going up and down over the G major chord. This is like more notes here, increasing the frequency. I can't play it as good now as when I did the recording, so you have to excuse me. So we're growing the energy a little bit here. Now, for the first time in this cadenza, we start to get a little bit of a pulse. And now we have only like G major and A minor left here. Get the famous stamping, and I think in the concert he does it like on the floor, but I like to do it on the pedal, because then you can actually press down the pedal after the beat as well, and this close on the piano you get an amazing sound of the dampers leaving the strings like that. So basically playing drums when he's doing it. Echo. Now ready for the resolution. Just savor it. And this gets kind of romantic now with this harp scale. The heartfelt melody. Now. So it's the same resolution to G major, but here he throws in a D major as a preparation chord. It's very, very like standard tonal music thing to do, and it's just very nice. Now it starts moving again, and now this is, I would call this the A2 part here. Because this is a part with a lot of steady pulse. Even the stamping has more elements of a cadenza, but this is a little bit of something new here. And we get only G major and A minor, two bars each, and you're staying in this great state of almost hypnosis between the chords. But now Keith Jarrett's very, very consciously, I think, is increasing the energy slowly, so you just go get along for that ride. Starts very soft, but with a clear beat. Extra note here on the A minor, just the seventh, a G. And a D, the extra notes within the A minor. And G major. D again. Getting somewhere. Now, to increase energy, he adds a tremolo on the chords in the right hand. So now we're really getting somewhere. This is one of those things that's actually much easier to do than how it sounds like, I think. It sounds really cool, but you just turn your hand in a bit spastic manner. And keep it slow, I would say, because it's going to come a couple of times. So start slow, soft, I mean. And you add, get the low octave here. On this high note and really let the sound ring out here. And now we get the next section. It's like the cadenza before, like an echo of that. So after a long time, here in the score it says rubato again, so. French ornament style. Now the F major. Now just a G major scale. The D here in between. Now this is a bit sudden joy here. Like a final jazz solo here, just kind of trying to find the way back to G major. Now the final part of the A section, we get the steady beat again. It starts in A minor, and now the energy is gonna grow again, and it's more syncopation here. So it's more like a swing feel. If the last tempo part was like a rock feel, this is it's more delicate and super super nice. It's like you got a ostinato vamp in the left hand. Having the tempo. This is already a little bit of G7 here. It's kind of a precursor to a section that comes later, like that's like a blues feel. Get a little bit hint here. In this section we have had A minor and G major, those two chords. Now he starts to add some new chords in the mix again, so it will be blossom out. So there's sometimes a D before the G, that's what we had before, and now it's also an E before the A minor. It's very natural, E just an extra dominant before A minor, and from G we get this. Major 7th with an extra C, back to A minor and this like low-key vamp. again. Back to the vamp. So the really great thing is the right hand finds these melodic fragments that it just explores and keeps on going over this very secure and stable harmonic vamp. So after this, comes like a super virtuosic jazz solo that I haven't practiced so much for this, so I have done a recording, so you should check that out. Because I can't really play this now, I'm sorry about that. But after this, we get a new transformation again. We end up on this D. So we know after D comes G. And after G normally comes A minor, but now he flips it. Major or A7th, and this section that comes now, it has like a blues feel or even gospel, really all the energy, just pure raw chords, the right hand's melody and the left hand does syncopation vamp. And now comes something new. Now it says here gentler in the score for one bar. So it's kind of taking down the energy again. And now this is another of many great moments. So we've still been within the A and G paradigm, if you will, for this. Even now it's A major 7th and G 7th sometimes. Now he starts to add like a melody. The right hand is finding a melody that's more than just a fragment. And it's a beautiful, like a ballad. And it goes to B flat major from G. So that's a mediant. And that's the start of like a ballad section. Idea so much that he does it again now. So, and the second time then it's moving on. So this is A minor with an extra ninth. Now flips it again to A major right in the middle of this. Stuck on this, what is it, like a D11th chord. like, what are we gonna do now? We've done everything. We've done the jazz and the blues and the ballad. So now he starts to really look outside this harmony and find something new. So he's gonna go through a lot of harmonies. And this is the transition to the major B section after this beautiful resolution in the high register. We just get this chord. It's kind of going a circle of fifth with the left hand. So like it's going around with a 2-5-1, I think, in jazz terms. This is like a nice median. It's quite dissonant, but it's raw and nice. Here he finally finds something. It's just an E major chord, but it's from this chromatic descent. Ah, I found it. And this is the back to the D again, actually. So you could end on a G here. That would be like a tonal, boring ending, of course. So now, this is a double bar line in the score as well. I think this is like the start of the B section. So now we're gonna get more exploratory harmonies. Not this idea of going between these the chords all the time. And it's also like a motif in the hands, short motifs that are going to be imitated in a lot of registers, that like he finds a motif and he takes it and throws it between the hand over different harmonies. So I will play a bit, and the first motif is just going between tone notes. We get that a lot. And after the D, of course, the transition. Instead of the G, we get this. Super jazzy. I don't even know what chord this is. So the motif in the right hand. Another note. Territory. But not anymore. Now there's a big, very emotional here. We get the motif, and it's relentless. Needs to try a long time. And finally kind of goes down chromatically. And there's that's just the alto, and then there's a voice in the above it as well. And it finally calms down in the end. I love this music so much. I can just play this section, the slow section that's not so technically demanding. Once I have learned it, I can just play it all day long, basically. Coming down here to C major and then going down. Now it's B major, and now we're gonna have this kind of tonal territory of B major, E flat major, A flat major. It's quite kind of coherent tonally what comes now, even though it's like a modal feeling, so it's not very tonal, but It's not atonal. Get this raw fifth and fourth. Really calming down with a low bass. And this is like the low point. I feel we've used this, the start of the B section, to really calm down everything that was the big energy. And here, now it says flowing in the score, so it's nice. I guess I should play flowing. Oh, I mean this chord. It feels like for the first time we get the melody on the beat, like no syncopations. It's been syncopation all the time just now. But and the cadence to C major. Start grow a little bit again. Here he finds like a new motif. So it starts with this neighbor note, and that's the contour. It goes between the hands, and it's actually a little bit reminiscent of the very beginning. So like if we from the second note up, going down, and then up. This is a little bit, just vaguely reminiscent. So, now modulating some weird. Calming down again. Lovely major seventh chord. And now it goes up in the register and up in the atmosphere. Very calm chord. This is like floating around in space, and this can be totally be from a page by Messiaen, like modern French music, or even Debussy or Scriabin. That's how it's not like it's the free part of jazz. That's not the traditional jazz. It's very free and great music. Maybe I should play it with even less energy. I think I'm a bit wound up now. I think when I get here, it should be really calm. I will do it again. Finds a new idea that comes imitating with the hands. So it starts here, this descending scale. Now like inversion. and the descending. Looking around a bit harmonically, and now going up, quite dissonant now. Reaches the high, and then this chord in the score, it says just a fifth on F and C, but what he actually plays on the recording is like a C flat, it's a B, and it's much better to play that, I think, with the tension with that chord raw. And then we get these amazing melodic things with two octaves apart. And here he starts to have a lot of fun again. Now we get some, and it's done by median shift. So we think we are somewhere C minor, E flat major territory. Or something. But this comes now. It's an F major, it's like very surprising. And okay, go back. And now try something else. D flat major, but it's really like unexpected and just a lot of fun. But okay, D flat major, A flat major. Now we're kind of feel okay. This is where we are, but just kidding. That was D major. It's something else completely. G flat. Now this is becoming a bit of a pattern. Throwing, going between medians abruptly like this. This is an amazing technical thing when you play piano. So we land on the G, very strong, then it's a G major, then it's an E flat major, so the median. But it's a really cool way of playing to make a really quick shift with the pedal. So, and play this very strongly. So you can actually save this in the pedal, but change this chord. So this chord is kind of gone from the pedal, but this note's it. But you need to play this very strongly and this very softly. And real quick shift. And now, the lick. And now it's like he needs to think a little bit again, or he gets stuck on this idea of a third here, E flat. Again, and this page that comes now I call the Rachmaninoff page, because it's this very romantic surges of music and big octaves, and so it goes like this. Some really nice groove vibe here with the C minor, kind of different time feeling again, like kind of in three. And this is an echo from the space where we were, just a glimpse of it again up here. Landing on this G open fifth. It's a fermata here, so this is kind of the breaking point between the B section and the C section. There's a long transition that starts with the chord after this open fifth. It's a G major, so he finds the major third here. Where are we going? It's very exciting, because you don't know where you go, but... And now we're on this unclear harmony. Now he finds the major chord again, but it's A major now. And now we basically get one page of downward arpeggio in A major. It's repeated 12 times. And he throws in also, this is what makes the sound so great, he throws in the fourth, the D in A. Is this like the fourth, the sus note, and the third, the major third, and this is this dissonance together with the pedal that makes it so great. Now on the top as well, and this echo, these notes is in the parentheses, and they're really really soft in the recording. Like, it's amazing how he can play so soft. So you can barely hear them. A bit, little bit louder when you get the D. And every arpeggio is slightly louder, of course. Now melodic. I like a cadenza over this arpeggio now. Here starts the C section that I told you in the beginning. We have A in the bass, and he's gonna find the ostinato, this ostinato. I will play it later. So we're in this sound, and now he just starts the tempo, like the beat again, very soft, and it's gonna grow for a long time the same. The simplest melody in the world just arrives in the top voice. I mean, this chord, it's too great not to mention. It's just the E, but over an A pedal that comes here. In the left hand, oh, it looks like the ostinato that we were looking for. He just starts with it here. It's so much syncopation here that all the time. So when I play it, I do it really soft the first time, so it's really creeping in without you noticing it, and then after a few times I play it more. Play that so reach some energy before, but here I go down again to get some contrast, and he's really stuck again on these two notes here. Volume every time. Right hand is also reaching higher up with this F sharp. Syncopation in this bar is just from another world. Because normally every bar is like you get the beat on the one again, you know where you are. But this bar, suddenly he keeps the syncopation going for two bars. It's so amazing. Then after that he does the same thing with the syncopation, slightly more than one bar after these high notes. And then when they finally come together, it's so great. Now we get this. So we've been kind of stuck on this A major and D major for a long time. Then suddenly we get something really new there. It's a median, the F major down. It's really something cool happening here. And he adds a lower octave now, and we get the ostinato in both hands, both thumbs. It's basically just the thumb that's playing it. The final part, he finds yet another gear to put in. The final two pages, he starts to add 32nd notes, repeating the chords. It's been 16 notes, all these different middle voices. And now he just starts to add. It's quite hard to play, it's because it's really fast repeating notes. Just, I don't know, it was really hard for me in the beginning, but then after, you know, weeks and months of trying, it gets a little bit easier. And so this comes, I have it 9 times of two bars, A major and D major, and there's small variations, really minimalistic, small variations between every time. So it's tough to memorize it because it's so much the same but a little bit different every time. And for the fourth round, he just have 32nd notes, not just the. He goes for all like 7 of them. It's really great. The low octave for the final. This is the final part of the run. It's a long chord, and now it's like he's thinking, I've been playing for 26 minutes. This is the perfect place to just stop playing and end it. So we get this ostinato, just an echo of it for a few times. and final A major chord. And these notes, they're kind of also like an echo from the very beginning. Even if it's not the same motif, it's kind of a some feeling of an echo, like they are the way they're placed together. Bit just vaguely, but of course now we're in A major, that's been the whole C section and its ending. And that's the Köln concert.